So today we celebrate one of the principal feasts of the church. And no, I'm not talking about Groundhog Day or the Super Bowl, although I must confess that Groundhog Day is one of my favorite movies. The strange thing is that many of us may have never heard of the feast we celebrate this day. The Feast of the Presentation occurs each year on February 2nd, exactly 40 days after Christmas. And most years, the feast slips by us on a weekday, with perhaps a celebration scattered here and there. This year, however, February 2nd falls on a Sunday, and this great feast takes precedence over what would otherwise be the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. The full name of today's feast is the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. It is a celebration of one of Jesus' major life events. That's what makes it a principal feast. You may also have heard it as Candlemas, or the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Candlemas because this is the feast when candles were traditionally blessed. And purification of Mary because the law of Moses required that she, like the infant Jesus, participate in a rite of purification 40 days after childbirth. That's the why of the event. Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem, bringing along with them a pair of turtle doves to offer as a sacrifice. But what happens at the temple is nothing short of miraculous. Two prophets encounter Jesus and immediately realize that there is something special about this child. First, there's Simeon. Simeon, we are told, was righteous and devout. He had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Messiah. You can imagine his plight. The older he got, the more likely he asked, "Is this the one?" of every person he encountered. "Is today the day?" And the answer must have been, "No, not today," 1,000 times over. But on this day, he takes the infant Jesus into his arm and sings. We call it the Song of Simeon, or the Nunc Dimittis. "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel." This is, of course, a well-known text to Anglicans, for it is one of two collects at evening prayer. And as you can imagine with those words, it is a very appropriate collect for funerals. And it is also a prophecy. Simeon is saying, "Today I have seen my salvation, my Lord, my Savior. And this God has made this revelation for the glory of his people." We are told that Mary and Joseph were amazed. Jesus was not yet 6 weeks old. They had survived encounters with angels, shepherds praising God, wise ones from the east bearing gifts, and dreams that caused them to escape into Egypt. And yet, Mary and Joseph must have wondered. Could they have possibly said to themselves, "Do they really mean our child? Or even, do these people really mean any child can be the savior of humankind?" And then there's another prophet, Anna. We are told she had lived 84 years. No easy feat in first century Palestine, especially for a woman. She prayed and feasted and fasted in the temple night and day. But on this day, she notices that something is different. She finds Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and asks about him. "Praise be to God," she probably said. For this truly is the Redeemer of the world. So, we have a story about waiting, a story about watching, and a story about discovery. Simeon and Anna are really reflective of all of us. For aren't we all, each of us, waiting for the Messiah? Waiting for the day to come, for the Savior to appear, for all things to be put right? Watching to see that the day has come, that this child is destined for the rising and falling of many. And the discovery that God has revealed all this to us, this light that lightens all the world, this child who redeems all people, this Savior who is Christ the Lord. Like the prophet Simeon, we each yearn for the coming of the Messiah, for all in this world to be put right, for the hungry to be fed, for the prisoners to be set free, for the sick to be healed, for all of God's children to be accepted and loved. Notice in the reading that Simeon was not looking for the Savior just in the church. He was looking on the street. Where are we? Where are all of us looking for the Savior today? Do we look with expectation outside the church, examining every face for the Christ that is within? Are we like Simeon, caught up in doing acts of kindness and justice? If we are, then the face of salvation is still among the nameless crowds who shuffle past our churches in every community in this land, in the homeless, in the prostitute, the prisoner, the hungry, and the naked. Christ is still there. The question remains, are we poised? Better yet, are we prepared to recognize and find him? Like the prophet Anna, we hope that our prayer and sacrifice and faithfulness will be fulfilled, that equality will come for all God's people, that peace will prevail over the whole earth, that justice will conquer all oppression. And so we believe. We believe because we are tired of waiting. We believe because we are weary of watching. And we believe because we have discovered the truth, the hard truth of Christmas, of Candlemas, of the purification, of the presentation. The hard truth of the incarnation is in the words of Howard Thurman, which some of you heard me say this Christmas. And it goes like this. After the prophets have spoken, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among people, to make music in the heart. Let us work and pray and give to make it so.